Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's great to see you here today. If we've not met before, my name is Steve. So the question that we've just been asking is, what would you love to have less of? Last week it was, what would you love to have more of? This week it is less of. So has anybody got any answers they want to shout out? Stress. Stress, exams, weight. Washing, was that? Amen. Clutter. I thought you said butter. Clutter. Any more for any more? Workload. There's definitely a common theme here, isn't there, in some way. As I was thinking about this question this week, my answer, I think, would be noise. I think I'm quite sensitive to too much noise. Like, I don't love busyness. I don't love crowds. I don't really love being in the city. I'm more of a town boy, as it were. And so I think my answer would probably be noise. And I was thinking about this just the other day when I was at home cooking, when I had a bubbling pan of oil. The air fryer was whirring, and I mean whirring because I think it might be on its way out. It sounds like a spaceship at the moment is taking off. The extractor fan is on full blast. I've got Talk Sport on. The washing machine is on. The dryer's on. Like, just a lot of noise. And then it comes time to sit at the table and to eat together, and everything just goes quiet. Suddenly, you can hear again. And there's a wood nearby to where I live that I like to run through or walk through. And most days, I will listen to something. I'll have headphones in, listen to a podcast or music. And the other day, I think it was Maundy Thursday, I was on a walk, and I just thought, I'm going to take my headphones out. It was a beautiful spring morning, and the bird song was incredible. Now, that bird song is there every day. It's just that because I took the headphones out, took the noise out, and intentionally just took a moment to listen, I was just wowed by the birdsong. It was incredible. It's always been there. And I wonder how much of God's voice is like that in our lives. It's always there. It's not absent. It's not silent. But it's drowned out by noise in our lives. And that's why the series that we're in, it matters so much. It's called There Must Be More. There must be more. And in this series, the heart behind the series is that we want to create more space for Jesus in our lives. Wherever you are at today, whether you're perhaps simply just exploring faith, or maybe you've been following Jesus for years, we believe today that there is more for you. Amen? More of Jesus. More discovery today, more transformation, more freedom. But the surprising thing perhaps about a series called There Must Be More is that first I think we might need to embrace less. Have you heard the phrase, less is more? Less is more. Less noise in our lives, less distraction in our lives, less hurry in our lives. And so today, the invitation, if you're taking notes, is to create more space for Jesus in your life. As Lois brilliantly preached last week and said last week, sometimes we have to clear things out to create space for more. And that idea, creating space for more of Jesus, is what we're going to see as we look at today's passage that we'll journey through together from Luke chapter 10. So, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10. Luke is one of the Gospels, one of four Gospels. He really helpfully recorded for us the life of Jesus, and so we have his life recorded for us in this encounter that we see here between Jesus and a couple of people. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, and it says this. Jesus and his disciples went on their way. Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha lived. She welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was busy with all the things that had to be done. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Don't you care? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Really, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray, shall we? And in this moment, why don't you take an opportunity just to ask Jesus for more in your life? Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's recorded for us, that we get to spend this time together just coming around your word. And we just ask now that in this moment, Holy Spirit, you would come and speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Would you guide us? And would you just slow things down, reduce the noise, as we look to create space for more of you, Jesus? Amen. Amen. What we're going to do together is we're just going to journey through this passage, just break it down a little bit and see what we can learn from the things that Jesus says and the things that Jesus does. So this story, this passage, this encounter between Jesus and Martha and Mary, it begins in a village called Bethany. Now, Bethany is just under 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. It's a house, a place that Jesus seems to visit often when he's on his way to Jerusalem. It's just over the Mount of Olives. Think from here to Runcorn, just over the bridge. It's close and nearby. Now, I think that Martha often gets a bad reputation. Like in this story, we might be inclined to think Mary does everything right and Martha does everything wrong. But I don't want us to miss something important here. I want us to see the hospitality that she showed. It says this, it says she welcomed him. Notice that level of hospitality that she demonstrates at this point. And there's friendship here. She welcomes Jesus in. And I think that's really important. I think that shows us something today, because I wonder today, have you welcomed Jesus into your life at some point? And you might have decided to follow Jesus, but over time, it is possible for us all to get and become so distracted and busy and hurried in our lives that maybe Jesus has begun to take a little bit of a back seat in our lives. We're still around him. We're still doing things connected to him. Hey, we volunteer every couple of weeks at church. We give. We do things. But our attention in some way has shifted from Jesus. Our life has become about doing things for Jesus. And in the busyness, we've lost the love of simply being with Jesus. And so I think Martha does a beautiful thing. She welcomes him into her home, but then we're told she was really busy. She was too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus. She was serving, she was hosting. She was doing something good. There's nothing wrong with what she was doing, but her focus has shifted from Jesus to everything else that needs to be done. And then it all kinds of spills out. And we get this part here where it says, "Lord, my sister has left me to do the work for myself. Don't you care? Tell her to help me." Has anybody got a sibling? This is sibling rivalry right here. And if you have a sibling, then you know exactly what's going on here. The modern version of this would be, why do they get more screen time than me? Like, this is a real sibling rivalry. It's that moment where the frustration builds, and what's happened is that comparison has kicked in. And suddenly it's not just about the task anymore. That's exactly where Martha is at. She's not just cooking anymore or preparing the meal. She's comparing, and she's frustrated, and she's looking sideways instead of upwards to Jesus. Now again, I also think we should give Martha some credit here. Because when we're frustrated, when we're comparing ourselves to other people's circumstances and perhaps life looks great for them, when we're really annoyed at times, it's very easy to take that and those frustrations to other people. It's very easy to gossip or to complain or to badmouth about somebody behind their back. But what does Martha do with her complaint? She brings her frustration to Jesus. And I love that, because that's always a good place for us all to start when we're frustrated, when we're comparing, when we have complaints. Take it to Jesus. And Jesus responds to Martha and he says this, "Martha, Martha." He's so nice that he said it twice. Now, saying the name twice is very much a Hebrew thing. It happens and occurs quite a lot throughout the Old Testament with people like Abraham or Moses when God is speaking to them. And it represents affection. It represents a level of intimacy, but it also represents a level of urgency. Jesus, in this moment with Martha, he's gentle, he's personal, he's kind, but he's also doing something here because he's about to speak the truth in love to her. And Jesus says, "You are worried and upset about many things." Jesus is challenging Martha here because he's saying, look, your eyes have shifted. They've shifted from me and they've shifted to worrying about what other people are up to and other people are doing and why they're doing that and you're doing this and they're not doing this and you're doing that. And there's all this comparison and frustration. And I think that perhaps this isn't just an issue for Martha. I know it's an issue in my life. I wonder if it's an issue in your life too. I wonder if you recognize these issues. Work deadlines. Doing the school run and the clubs that you have to drop and pick kids up from. Uni pressure and the social expectations on your life. Notifications that are constantly pinging. Endless to-do lists. And even when we stop, we don't really stop. We live in a world that is shaped by speed. Next day delivery, I don't know if you've noticed, but next day delivery is now too long, right? Like, we want same day delivery. We want it in the next hour. Like, preferably it could just come now. That would be really helpful. We want everything on demand. Amazon Prime has trained us to expect things immediately. And by the way, I love Amazon Prime. I'm not knocking it. I think it's brilliant. But that speed, it doesn't just shape how we shop. It shapes how we interact with one another. It shapes our expectancy on other people. And I think it has probably begun to shape, for many of us, our walk with Jesus, our spiritual lives, that desire for God to do something and do it now. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But sometimes we're not prepared to wait. Sometimes we're not prepared to just sit at Jesus' feet and to seek him. And we've allowed ourselves to be swept up by a world that is under the influence of addictive speed. And into that world, notice what Jesus says. You are worried and you're upset about many things. But where is Mary? Where is she? We're told Mary is sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Mary's posture is totally different to Martha. She's present, she's attentive, she's still. And Jesus says only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. One of my favorite authors, Brian Zand, he says this about this encounter. He says, 2,000 years ago, Mary of Bethany discovered that sitting with Jesus is the one thing that is necessary if we want to form our soul in the way of health and peace. If you think back to that question at the start, what would you love less of? Stress, work deadlines, whatever those things were today. I think that this story shows us that one of the best antidotes to those things in our lives is to learn what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Not literally, we can't do that, but we can sit in his presence and we can just be still and we can allow his presence to transform us. Mary's mind, we see, is fixed on Jesus. Isaiah, who was a prophet that lived many years before this encounter, he said this. He said, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Lois gave us a memory verse last week from Hebrews. I'm sure you've all memorized it and can remember it just like I can't as well. But here's the memory verse for this week. This is what we want you to take away from this message. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace sounds pretty good, right? And the root, the key to that perfect peace is to trust in Jesus and to fix our thoughts and our focus and our attention on him. And that's what Mary's doing. She's still, she's listening, and she's with him. There's a tension that we all live in. And here's the tension. Without some form of intentional stillness with God, we tend to live in one of three places. We drift back into the painful past. We flit about in the distracted present. Or we rush ahead into the anxious future. Let me just allow a moment for those three things to settle in. Without some form of intentional stillness with God, we tend to live in one of three places. We drift back into the painful past. We flit about in the distracted present. Or we rush ahead into the anxious future. Drifting, flitting, rushing. Let's break each one down. First of all, the painful past. Here's what that might look like in our lives. The regrets that we have, the things that we wish we had done differently, the conversations that we replay over and over in our minds, the hurt that hasn't yet healed, the grief that we just feel so overwhelmed with. And sometimes it's the questions like, why? Oh, why did we lose to Grimsby so early on in the cup? And then there's the distracted past. You might be here today, the distracted present, and you're thinking, what's for lunch? How am I going to meet that big deadline that I've got on right now? Did I reply to that message? Is that person a bit off with me? They gave me a funny look today. How are we going to get out of this debt? And for some, when is this guy going to wrap this up? And then there's the anxious future. And the anxious future tends to be those what-if questions. What if I don't get the grades that I need? What if I don't meet the right person? What if I don't get that job? What if things don't work out? What if something goes wrong? What if Arteta doesn't get us over the line? What if Spurs don't stay up? Like all of these things that keep us anxious about the future. And what happens is we live bouncing around in past regret or present distraction and future anxiety. Now, some of you have been really anxious about what's under my cloth, haven't you? I know you have. If you noticed, I really struggled to get it in place. But here it is. This is what we've got. Yeah. Come on, let's have a woo for this. This is what you were all expecting, isn't it? Now, I think in some way this jar represents our lives. It represents our mind. It represents our soul, our spirit, our inner world. Anybody feel like theirs looks like that? Let me give it a shake. When everything is stirred up, it's cloudy, it's messy, It's hard to see clearly. And for many of us, if we're really honest today, that's what life feels like. That's what our mind feels like. Our thoughts, our worries, our distractions, the pressure that we're facing, everything just constantly moving. And into this, here's what God is saying today. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And you know, I believe today that it's only when we slow down our lives that we can catch up to God. That as we slow down, God begins to speak and bring his peace and bring his presence into our lives. And really, we might refer to this as stillness with God. We might refer to it as simply just being with Jesus. But without being with Jesus, life becomes heavier than it's meant to be. The hard things feel overwhelming, and sometimes even the good things start to feel heavy. Now, this isn't just something that we see in Mary's life as we look at her life today. This is a pattern throughout Scripture. Moses was formed in the stillness of the desert. David was shaped in stillness, writing psalms from quiet places. Mary, the mother of Jesus, we're told she treasured up things in her heart, pondering them in her heart. John the Baptist, he was formed in the wilderness. Jesus constantly withdrew to be with the Father. Jesus' life only makes sense because of this simple rhythm. He moved in power publicly because he was deeply rooted in the Father privately. Jesus, he moved in power publicly because he was rooted, deeply rooted in the Father privately. And so last week's challenge, if you remember, was to end each day with Jesus. This week's challenge is to start each day in stillness with Jesus. And that's an invitation today. Maybe as we've talked today, you've realized, yeah, my life is really hurried. Like, I don't have that stillness. I don't have inner peace. I feel very anxious. Like, there's a lot going on right now. I'd love to invite you this week. Would you start each day in stillness with Jesus and see what happens? Because I believe that that's where transformation will come for you. But as you hear that today, there's likely a few different obstacles that come to your mind. Here's three different obstacles that we're going to look at and explore together for the next few minutes. Time, resistance, and distraction. Time, resistance, and distraction. First of all, time. We're busy, right? Life is full. And depending on your stage of life, that perhaps looks very different. For some of you, mornings might be quiet and spacious. And if they are, well, God bless you. We're happy for you. But for others, it's kids, it's breakfast, it's uniforms, it's will you get that clothes on, that item of clothes on for the 15th time we need to leave. Please brush your teeth. Amen? It's chaos from the moment you wake up. And this is exactly where Martha finds herself. Martha, we're told, was busy with all the things that had to be done. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing something good. But even good things can crowd out the best thing. And so if we don't intentionally make time to be with Jesus, I guarantee you, it won't just happen by accident. Not because we don't care, but because life will always have a way of filling the space. And so I invite you this week, start each day in stillness with Jesus. And if for you that is non-existent right now, then my encouragement is don't start big. Don't think, right, every day this week I'm going to have an hour of stillness, because it probably won't happen. Just start with a couple of minutes. Please just take it easy on yourself. Like a few minutes just to be still with Jesus. Maybe use a timer just to help you and just keep it really simple. And don't compare your routine with someone else's. Like, don't fall into that comparison trap that Martha fell into. Simply ask, where and when can I create moments of stillness in my week? And plan it out. Because Mary didn't accidentally end up at the feet of Jesus. She chose to be there. The second obstacle that I mentioned was resistance. And I want to encourage you to push through that resistance, because the truth is this: you won't always feel like doing it. It might sound in some way inspiring or exciting right now, because this sermon has been incredibly inspiring. That's a joke. But come Monday morning, that moment doesn't feel as exciting and the resistance kicks in. And other things are going to feel more urgent, and you're going to feel restless because you've got a big to-do list, and you're going to feel uncomfortable. And we see this with Martha and Mary. Martha doesn't just stay busy. What does she do? She resists what Mary is doing. She says, "Lord, tell her to help me." In other words, Jesus, make her stop doing that thing that is so good. And sometimes, if we're honest, that's what rises up within us too. And part of that is simply just being human, but I think part of that is also a spiritual thing. Because we have an enemy who would love to keep us busy. We have an enemy who would love to keep us in that place of anxiety, that place of being distracted, anything than to allow us to be still with Jesus. And sometimes the resistance is this, that we haven't yet before experienced what stillness with Jesus can do for our lives. So we don't yet see the benefit. And sometimes it's deeper than that. Some of us are actually deeply afraid to be still, to be silent before God. Some of us feel deeply afraid about being alone with those thoughts in our minds. And as I was preparing this message today, I really felt like there would be people now in this moment, and that really resonates with you. You're deeply afraid at the thought of being still. And I want to remind you today that in that moment, you are not alone. That's the whole point today. Start each day in stillness, not alone with your thoughts, but with your thoughts and with Jesus. Why? Because he is the source of peace. He is our comforter, he is our guide, he is our helper, and he wants to come, and he wants us to bring those thoughts before him and to let him speak into that chaos in our lives. And yes, when you get still, the painful past, the distracted present, and the anxious future, they're probably going to arise to the surface. But that's not a problem. That's just an opportunity to bring those things before our Creator, and to let him bring his presence into them. While Martha is anxious and unsettled, whereas Mary, she's at peace at the feet of Jesus. And then the final one, distraction. Distraction, the third obstacle here. This one is guaranteed. Your mind will wander. You'll think about your to-do list. You'll think about messages that you need to reply to, things that you forgot to do. And again, in the story that we've looked at, we see the contrast. Martha is pulled in every direction. And what does that lead to? It leads to worry and upset. But Mary, she's focused. I used to think that distraction when I pray, when I'm still with God, meant that I'm doing something wrong. But it doesn't. It just means we're human. And the great thing about distraction is that every time we're distracted, it's another great opportunity for us to simply return to Jesus. So instead of seeing distraction as a failure, see it as an opportunity just to return to God. Again and again. And when I practice stillness in my life, I find it really helpful just to have a simple phrase. And it might just be, "Jesus, I love you. Lord, I need you. Here I am." And just take that and say that as an intentional moment of just coming back into that stillness. I find it's really helpful to keep a journal nearby. And just to use that journal to write down the distractions, the to-do list, so that you can remember to come back to it and then it's out of your mind. But also, so that as God begins to speak, and he will speak this week, you can write those things down and keep them in record. Back to Ajar. Nothing's been added. Nothing's been fixed. It's simply been still. And what's happened? Everything that was stirred up has started to settle. And I think that is what happens when we are simply still with Jesus. It doesn't necessarily mean that those things have gone away. It just means that God has brought his stillness and his peace into our lives. And we begin to see life and see things just that little bit clearer. I don't know, has anybody ever read a book called The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis? I think it might be my favorite of the Narnia Chronicles, and I believe it's being made into a film by Netflix this year. But in The Magician's Nephew, there's this forest that's filled with these shallow pools of water. And the girl's name's gone from me, Diggory, and anybody want to help me? No, it begins with a P anyway. Polly, that's it, there we go, Polly. Diggory and Polly. They're in this forest, and each time they jump into one of these pools of water, it acts as a portal, and they go from one universe into another universe. And then when they return back from that universe, something's changed about them. Something's different. The world that they return to hasn't changed, but they've come back different. And I think that's what stillness with Jesus is like. We step out of the noise, and we step into the stillness. We give Jesus our anxieties. We lay down our addiction to speed and the immediacy of life. And we bring our struggles into the light. And as we open ourselves up to God's way of being, we return through a different door. Less anxious, more grounded, more aware of God's presence in our lives. So this week, start each day in stillness with Jesus. And as we make space for him, I believe things will begin to settle and we'll begin to hear God's voice in our lives clearer. I find it really helpful just to pray a simple prayer each day as I try to enter into this moment of stillness. And it's adapted from St. Patrick. And we're going to read it together in a moment as we take a moment of stillness together. Shortly, there'll be an opportunity where we're going to sing together. There'll be an opportunity if you'd like to receive prayer. Our prayer team will be at the prayer point over there in the room where it's a lot cooler today. So if you're feeling hot, just go and get prayer. But there's an opportunity for all of that in a moment. But I think it would be wrong of us to talk about stillness and not just to take a moment today of stillness. And so maybe some of those anxieties are coming to your mind. I just encourage you, let's read this prayer together. Let's acknowledge the presence of Jesus together and just invite him. And I'd encourage you now, change your posture. Do something different. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to lie down, lie down. Like there's plenty of space in the room right now. But do something now, I invite you. If you want to create more space for Jesus in your life, let's just take a moment of stillness. And if we could have that prayer up, let's just pray that prayer together. So in some way, just take a moment to respond now. Christ, I acknowledge you. Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ all around me, Christ within me. Let's just be still.